Good morning, church. Today's scripture reading is taken from Psalms chapter 23, verses 1 through 4, and Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The Lord will guide you continually, and satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters do not fail.
Good morning, everyone. If for some reason you can't hear me, just wave and say, "Speak up, Devin." I'm often told by my wife that I need to speak up louder. So I'm giving you the authority to say, "Speak up." Thank you, Juliet. I will trust him. My little talk this morning, it's about He Leadeth. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been led and failed to follow? Or, let me put it this way. Have you ever had an experience where you know you should have chosen a particular way and you decided to go otherwise, another way, yet ended up in the same path that you were earlier directed? Have you ever had that experience? I've had. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are thankful. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Stop being anxious and watchful, for I am your God. I give you strength, I bring you help, I uphold you with my victorious right hand. Well, we could have continued with Psalms 23, and we could have continued reading Isaiah 58, and that would have pretty much summed up my sermon. So you have a choice. We can go to Psalms 23 and 58, then you don't have to deal with my bantering, or you can hear what I have. Okay. Well, thank you, Peyton. Okay. Everyone has a story. A 24-year-old boy seen out from the window of a train he was traveling in. "Dad, look at the trees going behind." Dad smiled, and a young couple sitting nearby looked at the 24-year-old's childish behavior with pity. Suddenly, he again exclaimed, "Dad, look at the clouds. They are running with us." The couple couldn't resist and said to the old man, "Why don't you take him, take your son to a doctor?" The old man smiled and said, "I did, We are just coming back from the hospital. My son was blind from birth. He just got his eyes today. Every single person on the planet has a story. You do. Don't judge people before you truly know them. The truth might surprise you. There are four things I want you to remember today. Four words. Decree. Discretion. Discernment. And declaration. Decree, God sovereignly decrees and designs circumstances so that we end up where he wants us to be, even if they don't have any conscious part in our getting there. For example, Paul and Silas found themselves in jail, and the result was the salvation of the jailer and his household. Acts 16, 24 through 34. This was God's plan, but not Paul's. God does this often, putting us in places that we did not plan or decide to be. This is the leading of a decree. It is unique above the other three leadings because it includes them. Since God's decree includes all our decisions, and because it happens infallible, since no purpose of God can be thwarted, Job 42:2. The other three leadings of God involve our being consciously led. Direction. This is simply what God does for us by giving us the commands and teachings of the Bible. They direct us specifically what to do and what not to do. The Ten Commandments are one example. Don't steal. Don't kill, don't lie, or the Sermon on the Mount, love your enemies, or the epistles. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Put on humility. This is the leading of direction. God reveals his directions in the Bible. Discernment. Most of the decisions we make are not spelled out specifically in the Bible. Discernment is how we follow God's leading through the process of spiritually sensitive application of biblical truth to the particulars of our situations. Romans 12:2 describes this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. In this case, God does not declare a specific word about what to do, but his Spirit shapes the mind and heart through the words and prayer so that we have inclinations towards what should be most glorifying to him and helpful to others. Declaration. This is the least common means of God's leading. He simply declares to us what we should do. For example, according to Acts 8:26, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, "Arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." And according to Acts 8:29, the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." The song we sang to begin, He Leadeth Me, was written by Joseph H. Gilmore. And here's a little story that he tells behind it. America's Civil War has been dubbed the most destructive, the most lethal conflict in the nation's history. Over the course of 4 long years, more American lives were claimed than in World War I, II, the Korean War, and Vietnam War combined. Men and boys, barely fighting age, perished not only on the battlefield, but in other gruesome ways. In fact, 2/3 of the fatalities were at the hand of diseases such as typhoid, malaria, yellow fever, pneumonia, and tuberculosis. Scores also died in captivity, while many others were victims of the complication of amputation at the hands of doctors who had never previously performed surgery. And not only were lives just devastated, but so were the hand and the land and the economy. It is safe to say that trauma and trials were had by not only those who fought, but by the entire divided nation looking on. It is out of this horrific context, a war that claimed nearly a whole generation, that a young pastor of only 28 penned this one American's most famous hymn, He Leadeth Me. In fact, Joseph Gilmore, who was preaching at the First Baptist Church in Philadelphia at the time, wrote that it had to have been the darkest hour of the Civil War. Strangely enough, out of no exaggeration, I find myself miles outside of this same city, enveloped in a war of my own. One woman wrote, "It has been years, literally, that the Lord had led my husband and I down a path we could have never imagined. He led us to a war to fight for a 4-year-old boy who had no advocates, no defense, no hope, and no fortune. He led us to love this boy, crippled in spirit, in soul, and in body, as our own, and to show him the ways of God. And he led us to let go of him and of nearly everything we thought was ours. And now he has led us into the darkest hour, where we don't know if we'll ever see this precious boy again. A boy whose life on paper is still very much in danger. And all I can do is lie in the dust of a war-ravaged land with no hope to have been seen and wonder if I'll ever be able to get up. And yet, the words of this hymn come to me. I can't get the tune out of my head. I am forced to sing over and over again. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand, he leadeth me. And my soul is put at ease. Are all my whys suddenly answered? Is the path ahead lit in goal? No, of course not. Yet I know that he leadeth me. And so I can somehow, miraculously, while playing this hymn as my anthem, get up out of the dirt and move ahead, held up by my Lord's hand. Joseph Gilmore, that author, put it this way: the Civil War may subsequently have led me to realize that God's leadership is the one significant fact in human experience that makes no difference how we are led or whether we are led, so long as we are sure God is leading us. So maybe you too can be, maybe you too can relate to the unsteadiness of Gilmore's world and mine. Maybe you too feel like a casualty of war, unsure if you will ever be able to get up again. My encouragement to you and to myself, this sense of deepest gloom, or's troubled sea is this: may the simplicity of God's promises and the unfailing nature of his love be yours, period, or yours, full stop, as the English say, but be the end of your sentence. For interestingly enough, Gilmore said that he had originally set out to give the people an exposition on the 23rd Psalms, which I had, but this time I did not get further than the word, he leadeth me. And from there follow the words of this famous hymn: May your mind and mine, may your mind and mine get on no further and need no more answer. Thank you, Steve. May your mind and my mind get no further and need no more answers than he, your shepherd, leadeth you and he leadeth me. Psalms 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eyes. On Psalms 23:1-4. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Rod and your staff, they comfort me. Isaiah 58:11, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen you. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Psalms 37:23-24. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Take care of my boy. Fanny and others at the Institute often traveled, presenting concerts and programs to make people aware of the Institute and what it offered to the blind. On one of these trips, Fanny made an acquaintance that would be quite significant to her future. Mary Van Alstyne was so impressed with the Institute's exhibition that she determined to send her blind 12-year-old son, Alexander, to the Institute as soon as she could. She wanted Fanny to be his instructor and told the 23-year-old teacher, take care of my boy. As the biographer Bernard Ruffin stated, Mary did not realize that Fanny would take such good care of little Alexander that she would later marry her. Van, as Fanny called Alexander, was the first of the Institute students to attend regular college. After obtaining his teaching certificate, he returned to the Institute as a music teacher, where he and Fanny soon connected over their mutual love of music and poetry. Despite their 11 years difference, their friendship rapidly ripened into love, and on March 5, 1858, they were married. Although Fanny was only paid a dollar or two for each of the songs she and Van wrote, they could have lived comfortably on this income, but Fanny had other priorities and gave away anything that was not necessary to their daily survival. Because of this, the Van Alsteins lived in a small, cramped apartment in Manhattan's Lower East Side. This was near one of Manhattan's worst slums, just a few blocks from the notorious brewery, a well-known haunt for helpless alcoholics and the main artery of thriving red light district and pornographic center. Because of her proximity to this needy area, Fanny became zealous in her effort to help the people around her. She became a great fan of Jerry McAudrey, a former convict who was converted after hearing the testimony of a friend. Jeffrey founded the Water Street Mission, America's first rescue mission, to minister to those enslaved to alcohol and violence. As he once had been, she often mingled with McAltrey's audiences, conversing and counseling with those she met. She did not believe in pointing out people's fault to them. You can't save a man by telling him of his sins. He knows them already. Tell him there's pardon and love awaiting for him. Win his confidence and make him understand that you believe in him and never give up. Fanny's ministry of hymn writing and mission work spanned many decades. While best remembered for her hymns, her generosity and care for the dregs of society still challenge us today. She refused to let her blindness be anything other than a blessing from God. And when she died, a month before her 95th birthday, she finally saw the face of her Savior and knew him by the print of the nails in his hands. And she wrote, "All the way my Savior leads me, all the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, hear my fate in him to dwell, for I know whate'er befall me, Jesus does it all well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus does all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary footstep may falter, and my soul at thirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me. Oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothes immortal, wings its flight to realms of day. This my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. So when you hear that call, remember, the Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me. Don't ask why, just follow. I have many stories that I could share with you, and I'm a story, but to be told at another time of how he has led me this far and has given me the life he has given me. I'm sure you have a story too. May the Lord add a rich blessing.
Please stand and turn to hymn 516, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, 516.
Father, allow us to be led by you. Help us to hear your call and to know that you are the shepherd that guides us and lead us into path of righteousness. Help us to see this path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.